This is Clay from Skilled Gentlemen Podcast. You're listening to Handgun World Podcast with Bob Main, because defending yourself with nunchucks is harder than it looks.
And all guns should be Glocks, all Glocks should be 9mm and Model 19.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 351, I believe. Well, you know, lately I have been doing a lot of practicing, a lot of just going to the range, shooting competition, also just going there with a practicing partner, a training partner, and practicing. And I recently did that with Ben Branham. And so before we got started shooting and practicing and things like that, I asked Ben if he would talk to me for about 20 to 25 minutes about what he thinks is important for those of us that carry guns and like to shoot. What is it important for us to do and to practice? And so I did about 20 or 25 minutes for this podcast. He did about 25 or 30 minutes of an interview with me, and I won't spoil that. You can go over there to modernselfprotection.com. Ben is the host of the Modern Self Protection podcast. Ben pretty much kind of got started podcasting when he was doing the middle of the week episodes for me. I think he was doing a few other podcasts before that here and there, but then I wanted him to do the middle of the week shows. And so I had him do that. I think I had him do that for about 12 or 13 weeks. And he did a great job. And then, of course, he had to go off and start his own show called Modern Self-Protection Podcast. And it is a good one. You should go listen to that. But this is indeed episode 351, practical show done by a practical guy. That's me. So Ben and I talked about practicing and how we like to practice, and we kind of gave you some suggestions of how we think that you might want to consider practicing. So here's Ben Branham. Enjoy. Well, folks, you know, for the interview portion of this episode, because I promised you an interview, guess who? I got Ben Branham. Ben, how's it going, man?
Hey, Bob. Love to be on your show. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. And I was thinking about way back when, it was like a little over 2 years ago when you and I were regularly, it was almost like once every couple of weeks we were getting together talking about something.
Yeah, and now we seem more business oriented. We get together and we talk about classes we're upcoming, what we're going to do, curriculums, and then some serious life stuff. And now we can go back to fun podcasting. Yay!
Well, and then you went and started your own show, man. And, you know, that's okay. You know what? I'm hearing a lot of great things about it. So for those of you who don't know, it's the Modern Self-Protection Podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening. Today, Bob came up with an awesome topic. We're going to talk about, we're out here on the range. We're getting together for just a training day. We're going to spend a couple hours, probably 200 or 300 rounds. Just working on some basic fundamentals and some of the stuff we teach in our class. Just keep our stuff sharp. It goes fast.
Yeah, it does. And one of the reasons I wanted to get you together is I want to talk about practice regimens. I want to talk about what it is that we practice, why we practice what we practice, and kind of like the methodology, the philosophy behind it. Is that cool?
Yeah, and that gets super complicated super fast because it depends on how good do you want to be and how good do you want to be at what? To where you're going to practice.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll go towards a self-defense mindset here because that's what you and I are best at. We're not the best of competition shooters. We do that for fun on the side, just to run the gun and meet some other people. But we're really self-defense instructors, self-defense shooters.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I spent most of the time. It's been 10 years now, a little over 10 years now that I've been shooting and carrying a gun. So pretty much it's been self-defense focused. Here's what I'd like to start with. I think that every time you go out to practice, you need to pick a couple of skills, focus on just those two instead of trying to practice 8 to 10 things at once. What do you think?
Definitely, and have a metric for what you want to practice. How good do I want to be? How good should I be? Do I want to do better than last time? Do I want to do better than my buddy? If you have yourself a way to judge yourself if you're getting better or worse, more than just your feeling. And today you and I are going to bring out the shot timer so that we can play a little bit and see how where we are and everything. Because you sometimes you think you're fast or you think you're slow. For me, I'll shoot a string of fire and think I'm super slow. And I'll walk off the line and somebody will videotape me or something and somebody will pat me on the back and go, wow, that was super fast. And I'm like, I felt slow. And then I look at the tape and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm right up there where I should be running those splits. But, man, I felt like I could not press that trigger fast enough and find that front sight fast enough. I felt like it took me all day.
Yeah. And speaking of shot timer, a little bit of a sidetrack I want to take here. I downloaded the shot timer app off of iTunes, and I've played around with it a little bit. It's not bad. I mean, it's free, and it might not be a sophisticated shot timer, but to get somebody started, it works very well.
Cool. And I told Bob we're going to test that out today because I have an actual shot timer that's used in competitions and big boy stuff, and we'll run them side by side and see if they're within a a couple tenths of a second or hundredths. It should be within a couple hundredths of a second of each other, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, getting back to my point earlier about just picking a couple of skills, what I'm going to do today is I want to come out of the holster and make two quick hits. That's it. So basically that's two skills, out of the holster and two quick hits on target. And I want to perfect that, get faster and faster. I'll probably be slow when you first time me, and I want to get faster and faster. And I guess I'll throw a third in there, and that's it. And the third is going to be, I'm going to be testing out my eyesight today because I just got some new glasses. Last week's episode was about shooting eyesight and about how your eyesight changes when you get older, something you don't know much about yet, Ben, but you'll get there. All my friends who are in their 50s and 60s and some who are in the 70s that are listening to this, your eyesight changes, and so you really have to retrain yourself to shoot.
And you guys are laughing at me. I'm only 38 now. Just had my birthday, thanks. And
coming.
It's already started. All my family has glasses. I'm the last holdout. And that front sight's getting a little too fuzzy. It's taking me way too much work to concentrate on that thing. So it's probably time for me to update my prescription. I had one. And it's funny. It's a little sidetrack. Squirrel. In 2008, my front sight started getting a little bit blurry, and I couldn't see it as well as I wanted to. And I was like, what's going on here? And I was working overseas as a contractor. So I was here in Texas, and I went into the the eye doctor. And he goes, well, he tests me and everything. He says, your sight's not really bad. You have the lowest prescription they make. What's going on? Why are you here? And so I kind of told him, well, I shoot guns for a living, and that front sight was getting a little too blurry for me, and I was having problems picking it up, and I'm not sure I'm as good as I can be, and I'm out there protecting soldiers and doing this stuff. And he's like, oh, that's cool. You got a gun with you? I'm like, well, yeah. He goes, go unload it and bring it in, and we'll put some of those fake glasses on and make sure that you can see your front sight just like you're supposed to. And I was like, that's awesome. What a nice guy. He had no problem with me being a shooter. It was a lot of fun. So if you can find somebody like that, it's always fun to have that so they can actually let you. He let me bring my gun in and put the funny glasses on, the fake ones with the different lenses, and see how it was so I could get the right prescription. Really nice guy.
Cool. Well, last week I talked about Grant Cunningham's article recently. He wrote an article that was in Concealed Carry, or I found it on Concealed Carry website, about shooting with old eyes. And since we're on that for a little bit, and that's one of the things I'm going to practice today, Grant made some good points. And he said, all of our life we've been taught that the front sight has to be in perfect focus or we can't make a hit. And Grant said, that's not necessarily true. He said, if you learn target focus shooting and your target is in focus, you look through your sights anyway, so your sights are probably going to be blurry. But you still superimpose the sights on the target. And just before we started this podcast, I tested it. I whipped out my shield with carry ammo, by the way. I was shooting Federal HST 127 grain plus P's. And I was standing at about 30 yards, and I had my hostage taker target. First shot, I hit the hostage taker. It's about a 6-inch circle with a fuzzy front sight.
Little luck never hurt anybody. No, I'm kidding. It was a good shot. Bob's a good shot. And we're always testing stuff like that. And for me, the point shooting thing is my huge thing. And I know it's target focused shooting. There's so many names for it. It's the same freaking thing. But yeah, all sorts of things can happen. You get pepper sprayed you're not going to be able to, I don't care who you are, yes, you Navy SEALs out there that think you're going to gut it out. If you get pepper sprayed in the face, you can gut it out and fight, but there is no way you're going to get a hard focus on that front sight with a face full of pepper spray and make that shot.
It's not going to be in focus, is it?
There's no way. It's going to be blurry. You guys that wear glasses, like Bob over here that wears glasses daily, if somebody walks up and hits him upside the head and says, hey, old man, give me all your money, and pulls a gun out, chances are he's going to lose his glasses. Well, how is he ever going to get a hard focus on that front sight?
Well, guess what? And that's another thing I'm going to practice. I'm going to practice today shooting without my glasses. I'll have safety glasses on, but I won't have prescription glasses on.
So you need to have that other skill for when things go wrong. And I'm still writing my point shooting book. I'm going to get to it sooner or later. I'll get it out. But it's, you got to have that skill. If I was ever going to be in a gunfight again, I would love to do those seven fundamentals of marksmanship. Stand there, get a good grip, good stance, sight alignment, sight picture, hard focus on that front sight. Take a nice deep breath, finger on the trigger, squeeze it out, make that shot, pick up that sight, second sight picture, do the trigger reset, take another breath, and squeeze and make another shot and run the recoil and then the reset again. But you can see how long that could take. You just don't have that much time when somebody's trying to kill you.
No, you don't.
So you might want to have another set of skills for that stuff. So I think that's what I want to practice today, is coming out of the holster, taking a step, and getting a couple hits on that target, like you said. I really want to be able to run my gun faster. And I know that sounds, I don't know, maybe I'm being a little too egotistical, because I know I can run my splits at .17, .18 consistently on any of my guns. And we went to that competition last week, and that guy was running his splits at like 0.10 seconds.
Yeah, that guy was amazing.
And I felt bad, and he beat me. So I just, it may be egotistical, but I want to be able to run the gun a little faster. I think I can do it. I just need to work at it. And so, but, you know, working those skills, we're talking about skill levels. It's a lot of, where are you at skill level? Are you trying to push it? Because pushing your shots from 1 second to half a second, I can do that with you in 5 minutes. You know, no problem. Going from half a second splits to quarter second splits, it's going to take a little bit more time. If you come to one of our BCC classes, we'll have you doing a lot faster than that. But once you get down to the 0.2 of a second splits on your gun, and what I'm talking about is how long it takes you between shots, and the shot timers will measure that to the 1/100 of a second.
I'm glad you clarified that.
And so that's 5 rounds a second coming out of your gun. That's pretty darn fast.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 5 rounds a second is good.
But the guy that we shot with last week, and I watched his shot timer, he's running 0.10 second split. So he's running 6 rounds a second out of his gun.
No, 0.10?
Yeah, so I would love to be able to run 6 rounds a second out of my gun.
That wait a minute. Fun. Why am I being stupid here? Would be 10 shots per second, would it not?
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking in base 60, like 60 seconds instead of the 1/100 of a second. So, yeah, he'd be running 10 rounds a second out of the gun. And running your gun, going from 5 rounds a second to 10 rounds a second is incredibly fast.
Yeah.
You'll never, it's so much work. And then when you guys talk about all your triggers and everything, when you get that good, the triggers start to matter. Before then, and if you're not running your gun at under 0.2 of a second per splits on a timer, don't tell me about triggers and I need a better trigger and everything. When you start pushing that 0.15 seconds, now we can start talking about better triggers and that maybe I need one. Yeah. And I'm thinking about racing out a gun. I just sold my AR pistol, got a good price for it, and I've got that extra M&P that really needs a new trigger anyways. I'm thinking put a race trigger in there and see what I can really run.
There you go.
I think it would be fun. But when you get to that level, now we're talking gear matters. Before that level, gear doesn't matter at all. And the only reason I know this, too, is because last weekend we got to play with that guy's super-duper gun, and I was running splits, I know, faster than I normally run them. By a lot. My phone is buzzing. Shut up. So where are you? Where are you going to work? And those split seconds, I can give you a quick drill to run those split seconds if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Hey, 1 and 2 and 3, and if you shoot on the 1 and the and, that's almost a half a second per round. Okay. If I go 1, 2, 3, 4, that's almost a quarter second, so 4 shots. And if I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, now we're talking about where my pace is about 0.2 of a second between shots. And that's just a stupid, easy thing, but that's how you can make yourself shoot faster. And then if you run the drill where you're actually shooting at those paces, that'll make you run faster.
All right. So anyway, we had to do a quick pause there, but you were talking about splits.
So that makes it, that little drill I gave you, if you run at, when you're saying the one and two and you go bang, 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 mm-hmm. and then one, two, three, four, bang, 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 and one, two, three, four, five, bang, 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 and make sure you shoot on that pause that you're speaking to yourself no matter what. Yeah, your shots are going to start going wild, but it'll make you pick up on your trigger. And one of the best ways you can do it is have an actual rhythm. If you just try to make yourself go faster, I'm just going to run faster and faster and faster, it doesn't really work. You need to have that rhythm and be able to push that rhythm.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I've heard you talk about before, Ben, you know, being able to come out of the holster smoothly, relatively quickly, and put a couple hits on target quickly. Because people have said that, you know, those are probably your two most important shots.
Probably
if you have to defend yourself. And as we all know, it's likely, not for sure, but likely to be over in three or four shots anyway. Unless we're talking active shooter terrorism. Yeah. But still, even coming out of your holster and shooting that guy is going to be important.
Yeah, and if you want to do how slow the world is, coming out of your holster from concealment with the concealment rig you wear, making two hits on a target at, let's say, 7 yards, where you actually have to pick up your sights, give or take, 2 seconds is pretty fast.
Yeah,
2 seconds flat to get it out. You're talking a second and a half to get it out and get that first round on, and you have a whole half a second to put that second round out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it ain't easy, folks. Going from deep concealment, a second and a half is fast for me. Light concealment, a second, 1.4, 1.3. From an open carry, I'm trying to run 1.2. I've been pretty slow lately because I haven't been practicing as much as I should be.
Try practicing from pocket carry.
If you get your first shot in 2.5 seconds, you're probably doing well.
That's my next practice session. That's not today, but my next one's going to be drawing from my pocket and practicing that. So, again, my philosophy is pick two, maybe three skills. Today, for me, out of the holster, two quick shots, and also working on my eyesight. I'm also trying to figure out which sights are better for my eyesight. And just like I thought, it's any sight that has either a fiber optic front or something that acts like a fiber optic front. For example, Trigicon HD's speed sights, they all have that brightly painted front that's around a tritium vial. And for me, for my eyes, and many of you when you get older, you kind of figure out the same thing. You know, I used to be a shooter that preferred black on black sights. Not now that I'm 54. Back when I was 42, 43, that was good. But now I got to have that fiber optic or something that acts like it.
I'm laughing because I was the same way. I liked it in my 20s, black on black. I used to run a rear sight blacked out, and the front sight had the smallest little vial in it with all black around it, no paint on it, so I could just find those big black sights and pick them up. Yeah, I'm getting older, and now I'm running TFOs on my carry gun because it's got the three super bright green dots. I kind of like them. I've been testing them. I really like them. And so now
hard to miss those.
Well, I got to buy a set of speed sights for my M&P, and I got to go back and forth and see which ones I like best. But it's either the TFO or the speed sights are definitely my favorite. I know you run the Trigicon HGs.
HDs.
Which just don't... They feel weird for me having the U-shaped notch in the back, and I just can't get over that, and I don't know why.
Well, let me tell you what. When you get old,
maybe
you like to see a lot of that wide real estate in your rear sight. It really, you know, it helps when you get to be ancient like me, you know, because that's the other thing. In your rear sight, the more light between the front sight, left and right side of it, the more space and the more light, the better it is when your eyesight. When those are blurry anyway, you want to have the space there.
Yeah, and I used to like the really thin post up front and the wide on back, so there was a lot of space between them. And that's what I used to, when I was trying to do the IDPA thing and pick up and start maybe be a sponsor shooter and stuff, I was running, I forget what sights they were, but it was super thin up front, blacked out in the rear. And that worked really fast for that IDPA game.
Probably up. Dawson fiber optic.
It was Dawson Precision.
Dawson Precision fiber optic?
I forget who it was, but they were real good sights. He makes a bunch of them.
Oh, Warren Tactical.
Warren Tactical, yeah. I was running
Scott Warren.
Yeah, and I love the front sight and the rear sight, but it helped me to make that semi-precision shot at 7 yards that you're required to in IDPA. In real life, I don't need semi-precision at 7 yards. I need a quick hit. up close, I don't care about my sights. I just need quick hits. So I need something I can use. And then where I'm going to really use my sights is if I am in one of those stupid Hollywood scenarios or active shooter where I want to take that 35 or 45 yard or even 55 yard shot. I need to be able to do that. And with me, that little tiny front post and all that space in the back, I couldn't make the long distance hits real well.
Yeah. And, oh, and by the way, maybe a little luck didn't hurt anybody with my shield hitting that hostage taker from 35 yards. But you know what? I emptied the magazine, and every single one of them were a nice hit on the steel silhouette, man-sized silhouette target from 35 yards. So you know what? I think that gun and those sights are working for me very well. Anybody that thinks these little guns like the shields and the Glock 43s, if you think they're not accurate, I beg to differ. They're very accurate. You can be very accurate with them.
Modern guns are going to outshoot you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are your name isn't a professional shooter like Jerry Micklick or something.
Lethem.
Rob Lethem.
Savigny. Bob Vogel.
Yeah. These are the guys that will start outshooting the guns.
Yeah.
If you're not a sponsored shooter, you're probably not outshooting your gun. Your gun's
going to
outshoot
point.
You. So don't think it's the hardware. You need to fix the software. It's you. You need to fix you and then start working on the gun.
Yeah. And the SEALs just adopted the Glock 19, by the way. So, you know, if the SEALs, if it's good enough for the SEALs, it's good enough for me.
Whatever.
Because some of those dudes are some pretty good shooters.
I'll give you a little secret. Here's inside baseball.
All right. Give me the inside. Mr. Military, give me the inside.
They announce crap all the time, right? Oh, the SEALs have now chosen the Glock 19 pistol.
Well, they have.
Yeah, whatever. That means that they have an official NSN number, which means they can stock them officially out of their budget.
Yeah.
But the SEALs, like, they're, I forget what they called it, but it's a budget that they really don't have to keep on the books too much. They can buy anything they want out in the real world.
Yeah.
That part of their budget is so freaking big that a SEAL team of seven, their budget is bigger than my battalion used to be in there. So they buy whatever the snot they want. So if you find SEAL Team 6, they're probably running a different gun than SEAL Team 5.
Probably so.
They're all running whatever they want. And yeah. You guys don't understand. These guys have a magic armory budget.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to walk into their armory and go, which pistol do I want today? There's an HK Mark 23, there's the new FNX, there's a Glock 19, there's the old SIG M11, there's the SIG 226, that's now the Mark 25, there's a custom 1911, a Colt, and another custom 1911, and they look at their armory and go, which pistol do we want to use today?
Yeah.
So it's not...
Wouldn't that be a nice luxury?
Their budget is so big that each team buys whatever they want. And when they announce it, that means that it's officially been recognized by the Navy and the Armed Services as a pistol that they can use their official budget for.
Yeah, I just had to throw that in there.
It's kind of... Well, everybody was telling me that, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I've seen SEALs carry just whatever they want. And that's what they do. They carry whatever they want.
And they can probably shoot any of them.
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
And they carry whatever rifle they want, too. People are like, well, they officially use the SCAR. They use whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so each team will do a different thing. Same thing with the Delta guys, the CAG guys, all these high, really end guys that you think that you're going to operate with what they do.
Yeah.
They use whatever they want. And each team, even the Green Beret guys, each team of two that goes out, they may be having different weapons than the guys next to them. So when you say, oh, the SEALs carry this, they probably did at one time if it's on the market.
Or maybe one guy carries that and others carry something.
Yeah.
And then the next day, or the next week, they'll carry something else.
Well, it's probably not that much, but, you know, every 6 months to a year, they probably rotate out the guns that they use.
Sure.
And it's more like a team decision. Which guns are we going to use? What's our basic battery going to look like?
And thanks for getting into that. I wasn't planning on that because I wanted to talk about practice, but I just thought I'd throw that out there and see what Ben Branham thought of that.
Working at Sparks Firearms, I get, well, the SEALs now adopted this. And I'm like,
is this a good gun because the SEALs carry it?
SEALs use it, so it's the best thing on the market. I'm like, the SEALs have used everything.
So one more thing I want to throw in about practicing today. I'm a firm believer in that you don't want to make your practice sessions too long. I think the problem is a lot of people tend to go out and figure, okay, I got to shoot 200, 300 rounds before I can call it a good day of practice. I think you need to be careful not to tire yourself out. I think if you shoot 75 to 100, 125 good quality practice rounds, and you're picking a couple of specific skills, and you improve, I would say that's a good day, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think you're onto something there. A lot of guys used to run up their ammo counts on their class just to see how many rounds we could fire in a day. Your practice session doesn't have to be that way. Your practice session could be a good box of 50 rounds. If I'm going to work on precision that day, 50 rounds is a lot of rounds to be shooting in a handgun and trying to do perfect little groups or precision at long range.
Right.
If you're trying to learn how to point shoot,
you might be
shooting 200 or 300 rounds.
Yeah, I was going to say,
in the morning. If you're trying to shoot on the move, you might be shooting more rounds.
Right.
If you're trying to pick up your pace, you need to shoot, like we talked about earlier, you need to shoot, it's going to be 150 rounds or so, because you're going to shoot five at a time super fast.
Yeah. Right.
And then you're going to then take a break, see what you did, and then do it again. If you're just throwing rounds downrange, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to have, we called it a dump X in the military, where you're just dumping all your ammo to shoot it.
And you're checking the function of your gun.
You're just having fun, and you're running the function test on your gun.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that, but don't kid yourself and think that that's the greatest training, because I put 300 rounds downrange in an hour.
Exactly.
You probably didn't have as good a training as you could have.
Yeah, probably not. All right, Ben, thanks. Appreciate you coming on and talking to me about
this. Hey, thanks, Bob. I love being on your show. You're a great interviewer.
All right. Have a good one. Take care.
It was one of the worst mass murders committed by a single person. It happened down south. A lunatic killed 27 people, including his own mother, in a single pass. The killer used a six-shot revolver and a knife. Mass murderers find whatever tools they need, and those tools don't need to be sporting rifles or high-capacity clips. A slow reloading revolver is all this fellow needed. Banning clips will not prevent a madman's massacre. But that doesn't matter to the gun control industry, who thinks inanimate objects are evil, but ignore the deranged people who misuse them. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Hey, by the way, here's a quick voicemail that came from Larry from the Power Factor show. I think you're going to find it interesting.
Hey, Bob, Larry. Listening to episode 350, and your gun-free zones already have a name. We don't have to come up with a new name. The gun-free zone is a target-rich environment. That is all.
Well, thank you, Larry. You know, a target-rich environment, I've heard it called that before. I also remember Maverick and Goose from Top Gun saying that. I remember Tom Cruise, I think, said that. I really don't want people to think I'm talking about Top Gun and Tom Cruise, although that is one of my very favorite movies. So, yeah, I understand it could be called a target-rich environment. He's talking about a zone that is posted where concealed carry or open carry is not allowed. I'm not going to use those three words that I was asked not to use anymore, because it's really not a gun-free zone. Okay, there I said it. But yes, it really is not that. But, you know, Larry, I'm not going to say target-rich environment either, because it just reminds me too much of Maverick and Goose and Tom Cruise. Oh, well, anyway, we'll call these zones whatever it is that we want to call them, but they are certainly not gun-free. Larry, thanks for calling it in. Okay, well, Ben and I finished up. We practiced just exactly what we said we were going to, and, you know, we did pretty well. We were both consistently well under 2 seconds. As soon as the buzzer goes off, you know, take a quick step, get out of the line of fire, draw a couple shots on target, point shooting most of the time, very little sighted fire because we were within 5 to 7 yards, And like I've said before, you know, if you can't point shoot or instinctively shoot or whatever it is you want to call it, you don't have to get completely on your sights at 5 to 7 yards. I don't care what people tell you. I really don't care what people tell you. It can be done, and you have to learn how to do it. It's a skill you need to put in your toolbox. Not the only thing you're going to rely on, but it's something that you got to put into your toolbox. I think my best time was like 1.67. Or it might have been 1.58 or 5.9. Ben got his time down to like under 1.3. And we were practicing from open carry towards the end of it there. You know, Texas open carry, since we have open carry now. We were practicing both our concealed carry draw and our open carry draw. Hopefully you got a lot out of this, folks. Please don't forget, I don't have sponsors on this show. It's supported entirely by generous listeners like yourself. So join our Shooters Club. Make your Amazon purchases off of my Amazon store. Things like that. You know, you can go to handgunworld.com. You can find my Amazon store at handgunworld.com. You can sign up for the Shooters Club. Take one of our classes. Ben and I are teaching one day beyond concealed carry, February 20th in Houston. 2-day advanced class, 16th and 17th of April. We're trying to put together maybe an Alaska class. Ben's going to South Carolina. He's also going up to Arkansas by himself. You know, folks, those are ways that you can support me. I'm going to be a student at Tom Givens' class in March 19th and 20th. I'm going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and to take Tom Givens' 2-day combative pistol class. And I'm going to be a student in May. I'm pretty sure it's May 14th and 15th. John Payne from Suarez International is teaching a rifle class, an M4 rifle gunfighting class. So for 2 days, I'm going to be a student there. Ben and I will both be a student. That's here in San Antonio, Texas, and at Cedar Ridge Range. John is going to be the one and only instructor, and we're all going to be students learning how to run our semi-automatic rifles better. With all that said, folks, thanks for listening to episode number 351. I'm Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And as I got from Paul Carlson, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men. Hey, by the way, Paul Carlson is going to be my guest next week for a really good interview. So that's it, folks. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.